100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. We got a lovely show for you today. It's a weekly challenge where I post up a topic of your choosing, and then you write stories on that topic. It's kind of cool. It's fun. You get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, different takes on a topic. All kinds of minds across the world thinking about it. Okay, is that silly enough? Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's see who's going to share up a story first here. It's Jeffrey. He's got a little bit up his sleeve. Let's peek on up there and see what's going on. Jeffrey, the mic is yours.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here, back with a pair of stories for this week's weekly challenge on the subject of anonymous. So let me get right to them. The story is called Memories. The anonymous note came through Bill's mail slot one morning. "I know what you did last Friday." He crumpled the note and threw it at the trash can. He missed. Bill returned home after work to find a second note, on thick cardboard this time, so he couldn't crumple it so easily. "I know what you did last Friday." He ran the note through his shredder. When the third note came through, pasted on the back of an old frying pan, even Bill acknowledged he couldn't readily dispose of it. Instead, he attached his own note and slipped the pan back into the hall. "Good," the note read, "because I've completely forgotten." My second story is called The Manuscript. Barbara read the manuscript with growing excitement. This was not just good, it was astonishingly good. As an editor for a literary magazine, reading stories from the slush pile was generally a thankless part of the job, but someone had to do it. But this piece, it pushed all of Barbara's buttons as a reader. The piece was just what Barbara would have written herself had the magazine not prohibited editors from submitting stories. The author wanted to remain anonymous, however. He had left a correspondence address and nothing more. Barbara sent an immediate acceptance letter, but couldn't help ask why the author of such a wonderful piece insisted on anonymity. 2 days later, she received a reply. "Have you forgotten our split personality?"
Thank you, Jeffrey, for leading off on this wonderful, wonderful week about the topic, anonymous. It's so anonymous, I didn't even mention it at the beginning of the show. I'm getting sloppy in my old age. I blame the training that I went through, scrum training. I'm on two different scrum teams, so put me through beginner classes for 2 days when we're intense and busy with all kinds. Never mind. Monday's going to be so much better, okay? Speaking of so much better, we got a new guy, Mario. He slipped in. However, he sent in an AUP file. And that's an Audacity project file. MP3, WAV. Oh, well. Mario, I know you're getting off on the wrong foot, but that's okay. We're going to give you a second chance through the miracle of robotics. That's right, we got a robot to read your story here, because I'm not going to do it. Here, Mario, take a listen.
"I stood there long after everyone had gone. I am not sure why I stayed. It's not as if you would suddenly pop up and say, 'Hey, how ya doing?' I also wasn't sure how I was supposed to be feeling at that moment. I was angry because I couldn't call out your name. I was sad because I would never see you again. I was anxious because time was so short. I was happy because you were somewhere better than you had been before. I looked down at the inscription on the tombstone that seemed to mock me, 'Anonymous.'"
See? Wasn't that great? Robot reads a story. Isn't that cool? I love it. You'll love it. It's perfect. Thank you, Mario. And please, please, send the WAV or the MP3. not the AUP. There's no way that you're going to read a story in 3 kilobytes, okay? That's your first suggestion. So, give it a try. Next up, Tor Bregianu, who sent audio file. You see? You see how that works? Isn't life great? Wait, new activity on, and I got people who like my kitty cat photos. Okay. All right. Well, forget about Flickr. Traffic has gone up on Flickr because they've stopped filtering something, or they actually record traffic now or something. I don't know. Whatever it is, Tora, here, explain it to us in a 100-word story.
There was once a woodcutter who lived with his wife in the forest. They had little use for names, so when they had a son, they did not give him one. When he was old enough, he must cut and carry wood, and if what he got for it would not feed him, he would go hungry. One day his father died, and his mother, and he was alone. He left to travel in the wider world, which he had never seen. But what became of him then, none can say, for he had no name to be remembered by.
You see, doesn't that make sense? Makes sense to me. Thank you for explaining that to her. Oh, Tom! Tom is here. Okay, hold on. Let me just get this and plug this into that. And are you ready? Okay, here's Tom, folks.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 6. Despite the addition of about 100 kilos of noodles, Bannister was able to reach Bowman's station without further incident. "This will not do," exclaimed Mother. Red, head to toe, draped in noodles, and lightly dusted with Parmesan, Tim was less than presentable. Bozeman prided itself at providing all a traveler could want. Tea rooms, music halls, but in Tim's case, the Guy Fox Nano Showers was what he needed. Run by a more materialistically driven branch of Anonymous, it seems cascading a firewall produced the same effect as random falling drops of water. A cheeky, grinning pencil mustache mask greeted him.
See, he's making a series out of it. Wonder how many there are going to be. 50? 73? We'll find out when it's done. Until then, thank you, Tom. Then when it's over, we're going to go, grrr, we want more, and rise up like zombies. When does Walking Dead come back? Oh, well. Thank you, Tom. And now, a few stories from our friend over the seas and stuff. Richard. See, I'm keeping the pace, not slowing things down. Supposedly, we've got a bunch of guests this week who are, well, you'll hear. Richard, your turn.
Good morning. How are you? I'm not so bad, thank you very much. Very kind of you to ask. Although I do feel a vague disquiet at suddenly finding out that I'm Muncie's cousin Larry. I'm not altogether sure how I feel about that. Anyway, story time. This one's called Hotwire. Hotwiring always looked simple in the movies. Now, faced with trying to start the huge bulldozer with no key, George realised he hadn't the faintest clue how to go about it. Not ready to give up quite so easily, he jumped down from the vehicle and, carefully checking for signs of life first, kicked in the door of the site office. Again, not quite as easy as it looked in the movies. Grabbing all the keys he could find, a pang of guilt stopped him, and he hastily scribbled an anonymous note as he left. "Sorry for wrecking your door." A second story is called Anonymous Post. The anonymous poster is the scum of the internet. A coward without the courage of his convictions. A posturing loser who hides behind the veil of obscurity. The words he employs are an affront to decency. Self-righteous, opinionated, misinformed, and toxic. Words that, more often than not, serve only to demonstrate a woeful lack of understanding and humility. Words that care not for the feelings of decent, upright people, or the values of those they insult. The anonymous poster is a festering disease that must be eradicated for the good of all. But they'll have to catch me first. And here's another one for you. This one's called Focal Point. Why is it, no matter how good the photographer, how expensive the equipment, and how much time is spent setting up the perfect shot, somebody, or something, always gets in on the act, stealing the show? The anonymous photobomber in the background, the unknown stranger in the group, or the animal wandering into shot at the crucial moment. At weddings, it's the guest fighting to keep her hat on in the wind, or the bridesmaid picking her nose behind the happy couple. Without fail, it's these anonymous strangers who get all the attention, more photogenic than any other subject. My last story today is called Tick the Box. My brother Arnold was obsessed with privacy. He spent his life in paranoid fear that the government was spying on his activities. He'd shred his mail so his identity could never be stolen, and wear dark glasses when travelling on public transport. He'd stop at nothing to guard his private life, always paid in cash, and never subscribed to mailing lists. Even in death, it seems, he's had the last laugh. His unmarked grave is out there, somewhere, but I've no idea where. Trust him to tick the "I wish to remain anonymous" box on the instructions to his undertaker. And that, folks, is all I have for you this week. Have a good week. Be good. Enjoy yourselves. Goodbye.
No. Nobody's anybody's cousin. Not happening. But thank you, Richard, for those stories. But no. Muncie has a lot of explaining to do. In fact, he's right here, right now. So, Muncie, explain yourself.
Cousin Larry! Munsey here, and ever so gratified to hear that this month's collective nickname is driving our wonderful hosts into fits of apoplectic rage. After all, he's been so kind as to provide us the infrastructure necessary for this little online gathering, and he's asked nothing in return. And if I can use the venue he's graciously given us to make his life a little bit worse, it's a privilege, nay, an honor, to do so. And to do so enthusiastically. Because I'm a bad person, basically. Just because I'm a humble shepherd from the island of Mepos, that doesn't mean I'm not a douchebag. And will I stop? Of course not! Don't be ridiculous! Who's up for a story? The Mask by Christopher Monroe. The mask cost $12 at Expo when we went in the spring. Well worth it. I took it home, put it on a shelf, and waited. Summer rolled on and into autumn, and once she'd forgotten we had the thing, I knew the time had come. I greeted her at the door as she got home from work, naked other than a plastic V for Vendetta-style Guy Fawkes mask. "Hey, baby," I said, the leer she couldn't see nonetheless perfectly clear in my voice. "Wanna have some anonymous sex?" I'm as surprised that it worked as you are. Broken Escalator still out there waiting for you. Flash fiction at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com. Tweets at Munsey Munsey. That's it for this week, Cousin Larry. But I look forward to next week, and the wacky shenanigans next week will no doubt bring.
I'm going to get even with you if it's the last thing I do. Or possibly the second to last thing I do, because what'll happen is I'll go, "Yes, I got even with Munsey." And then I'll be like, oh, okay, wait, the light screen. And then I'll walk across it. Okay. Thank you, Muncie, for the thing, too. I don't know. What else? Do we have more stories? We have more stories. Hey, look at that. Like Lizzie Goodcough. Those of you in Second Life who know Lizzie's stories, she writes a lot, and she comes up with some really strange stuff. But also, you know, longer than 100 words sometimes. And, you know, you get into multiplayer, it's like, ooh, what next? I can't wait for the next one. You know it's a good story when it's like that, because I know that Charles Dickens wrote that way, except I hate Dickens. But Lizzie, I like. So here she is with, you know, her story.
All I want is to be anonymous, was the last line in the short note he left behind. His phone was tapped, his internet access logged for future reference, the front door barred by police tapes, his windows closed to the curious eyes of unfriendly neighbors. He was the outcast everyone knew, all because he spoke up against the registry, where all details of people's lives were available publicly. When he terminated his life, an option provided by law to those who refused to follow the code blindly, he hoped for peace and quiet for his family. That didn't happen. This was my story for this week. Check my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You see? Plugs at the end of her stuff. But not too gushing and shameful. Just the right amount. Now you can go to the show notes and you can click on her link and learn more. Learn all you want. You could even get a doctorate of Lizziology. Or is it Goodcoughology? Whatever. I don't know. Thank you, Lizzie, but really, don't look to me. I'm just the host. We have a staff of like 7, okay? And the researchers are all out for the summer. The secretary isn't answering phones. She's getting a manicure. And don't ask the guard. He's just there to guard. Yo, where's your parents? That's all he does. That's all he does. So, really. Don't look at me. One person you should look at, though, is Serendipity. Serendipity Haven. She's right here. Here's her story. Enjoy.
I remember a visit to Pompeii. I stood before an anonymous, petrified, long-dead Roman citizen and wondered about their life. Who were they? What were their dreams and aspirations? What were their achievements and successes? Then I realized the stone figure in front of me was simply a cast of a mold of an empty space where once a fragile person had tragically lain. A void. A profound gap in time and space. And it reminded me that no matter who we may be, the sum total of our lives will almost certainly add up to nothing at all.
Thank you, Serendipity. You know, that thing in Pompeii makes me worry because these people are frozen in a moment of time of their lives. What if the volcano were to have gone boom while they were on the toilet? For all eternity, tourists going by watching you take that never-ending dump. Or worse, jerking off in the closet. Or, I don't know, beating a child. Or having sex with a sheep. Thank goodness that when they dug those up, they were like, crack. And like, you know, oh, accident. Up, my hammer slipped. Hey, buddy. Yeah. Watch over me. Yeah. Did you a solid, man. Now, that's called the archaeological code. Making sure to airbrush history so that kind of crap, you're not eternally known as the sheep fucking guy. So, I should write a story about that. I'll write a story about that later. Right now, I think you're more interested in hearing what Zach Man has to say. Unless, of course, he's trying to deliberately set me off again. What did I say? Oh, no. Here.
I am so mad because of all the extra effort you caused me. What were you thinking? Now, I will have to spend several days trying to fix this. This is what I get for hiring a hipster, ranted Larry. You had to, because I am your cousin, and my father is your biggest backer. Since I want to be unnoticed, I must sign everything anonymous. But, as my business partner, you are a signer on the business checking account, and unless it says anonymous on your state identification card, the bank will not cash or deposit checks. Signed, anonymous.
Okay, you're trying to slip that L word into your menu. Please don't humor Muncie. Thank you, Zach, man. I know you could have gone further, but okay. You know, there's only so far you can whiz until you get the electric fence, man. Ugh! Just going crazy. Before I go completely crazy, how about I just introduce Cliff and say, here's Cliff. No? I just fed the cats. They're running around like crazy. And baseball, Astros lost. I don't know. I don't know what's next. What should I say? Kenny's having a good time. And Mist is, too. They're doing the, you know, both their tails are active. And they're doing the look and then run. And then stop. And run, and stop. I take it that means they're happy. I hope so. Oh, Cliff is happy. Here he is.
During my time at the paper, I was amazed at how stories were gathered. Anonymous tips were a big source of information. This one time, we got a tip about a popular national cookie company. The caller alleged that the company used sawdust in its recipes, that children were forced to work in the hot oven rooms, and that the white icing in the middle of their most popular cookie was made from shoe polish. The idiot editor was ready to run the story until someone pointed out that the caller sounded very much like a certain famous tree elf. And here's my second anonymous story. I thought I'd come up with a great money-making scheme. Every year, there are dozens of things published under the name Anonymous. Poetry, news articles, novels, exposés, the list is endless. So many people want their work out there and don't want their name attached to it, so they sign it Anonymous. So I went down to the courthouse last week and legally changed my name to Anonymous. Now, all the royalties from those works are legally mine. I have run into a snag, though. I'm having trouble tracking down the author so I can sue them.
Thank you, Anonymous. I mean Cliff! Someone needs to send in a news tip saying, Cliff, you write cool stories. You see? That's how it works. More? Oh, Steven the Nuclear Man! Oh, what convention is he at now? He's doing the stuff and the this and the publish and the... I wonder how the Kickstarter, the Kick Fates thing turned out. I'm kind of out of cash. Let's see. Steven, let us know.
We all look the same to you. Dress us in black and muted colors, in uniforms that designate us by role, not by name. Pack us in squares with gray, rug-covered walls that we are free to decorate within anxious corporate guidelines. Keep us backstage, out of the public eye. Hold out just enough impossible hope that we step on each other for the brass ring. We could be the fixtures, the appliances, the automatic doors. To you, we are simply cogs in the machine. Background. Forgotten. We are Anonymous. You order the clam chowder. It will not be clean.
Thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man. Now we know what not to order for breakfast today. Yeah, it's Sunday morning. I was recording all this stuff up until now Saturday night, and then, okay, any more going to come in? And then, yeah, finish it off. That way I can focus on the laundry later. You know, that's exciting. I should have started the laundry already. Maybe I'll do it when I save the file and then start changing it into an MP3. Okay? Deal. Right. No clam chowder, though. But we do have some Norville Joe for you. Yeah, good stuff. In fact, here it is right now.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 377 with a prompt of Anonymous. I know it was weeks ago, Thomas, when you said it, that you were taking off for a while. If you're listening to us now, I hope wherever you are, you're happy and doing what you want to do. And we look forward to you coming back to join our ranks here amongst the ignominious. Well, here's my story. Weeks had passed since Long John Silver's midnight romp through the female's kennel. Six of the girls looked more like meatballs with legs than wiener dogs. On top of that, Long John was responsible for Widow Finkelstein's border collie's pregnancy. Durgle would have to figure out their dispersal as well. His wiener dog-eared hoodie hung in the closet with press-on nose and whiskers. The urge was strong to don the outfit and cruise the cold night streets in search of recipients for his anonymous gifts. Yet, the memory of his week in jail was still way too fresh. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
I don't think you're ignominious at all. I think you're very nomignious and that. Right. Hold on. What are they playing? Oh, other than Jared Kosart and all that. Oh, I'll just turn the TV on for once. Just to see, you know, how crazy, if the world's blown up or there are riots and protests and Skittles. No. But anyway, thank you, Norville Joe. We do miss Thomas. We miss everyone. We miss everyone who has graced our ranks and then wandered off. But, I mean, a lot of them have gone off to great success. I mean, the writing and such. Oh, it's the fourth inning, and Houston is up 3-0. I know how this turns out. They're showing a replay of the game. Yeah, you know a network really sucks when not only do they carry the Astros games, but they also replay them to fill the time. That's bad. One thing that isn't bad, though, we've got Danny Dwyer has got a... Wait, oh no. No, he's coming up after. This is... Who is this? One second. You know, I don't know who this... Oh, wait. I don't know this battle star. Oh! This is Justin. Sorry. Justin, then Danny, and then Red. Okay, here's... Justin, sorry about that. Here's your story.
New Space Turtle. Justin Lemester here from thespaceturtle.com. My 100-word story this week. Just watched Iron Man 3, and after Earth, went to the cheap theater for got to see both movies for $4. Best part about seeing After Earth was I also got to see Iron Man 3. Not terrible, not very good either. Well, anyways, it's not a movie review podcast. This is about a board game. I haven't yet seen either Battlestar Galactica, but I have played the board game, and I really love it. Everyone has the same goal, not die and get to the goal planet. A nice co-op game, right? Wrong. Because not everyone does have the same goal. Some of the players are secretly Cylons, have to as secretly as they can sabotage the missions while wild accusations fly around the table. Better yet, halfway through the game, someone who wasn't a Cylon becomes one. Mayhem. I love the dastardly skullduggery and secrets and lies. My dad hates the game.
Yay, Justin. You got to see Iron Man 3. He said it's not terrible. I thought, well, okay, there were parts of it, cheesy, stupid, taking effect too far, whatever. They could have cut a lot of the stupid crap out, but really, I don't know, it just, whatever. What are you doing, Miss? Miss has her catnip banana. Ooh, the happy banana girl. What's really fun is when Mist grabs a banana and then Tinny stares, and it's like, there are two other bananas, you stupid kitten. Hello, Mist. You a happy, blissed-out kitty. You know, if there were drugs laying around, I wouldn't just, you know, oh, yeah, I forgot that exists. No. Oh, no, I'm a human. One person who's also fairly human is Danny Dwyer, and he's got it's a little longer than 100 words, but he says, I really got to get this out of me. He says, okay, all right. Normally I would say, come on, really? But it's part of the theme. You decide. So, here's the story. And remember, everything's going to be okay.
Hello, hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here with the next weekly challenge, 377. Anonymous. Oh, and I know I'm supposed to present a 100-word story, but, you know, this story is pretty much, well, let's just say I've been up all night. The George Zimmerman trial verdict came back last night, and for anyone who doesn't know who Danny Dwyer is in real life, I am a criminal defense attorney. I have been practicing criminal defense here in the state of Florida for the past 16 years. I happen to know one of the attorneys that represents George Zimmerman. He taught me a class on cross-examination. I happen to think very highly of Mr. O'Mara, and I am very grateful that the jury came back the way they did. Having been unemployed for the past, few months since I closed out my law practice, I've happened to have the luxury of sitting here and watching the full stream of all the evidence that came in on the Zimmerman case. It, to me, was better than any continuing legal education class I could have ever taken in my life. I've never seen such brilliance, and at the same time, I have never seen anything more deplorable in my legal career than what the state attorney did by even attempting to charge George Zimmerman with this case. But I understand the governor's office came down and put pressure on this on the state attorney, and the state attorney relented and they filed the charges, and all this was as a result of our media. So that's why tonight's, or this weekend, or weekly challenge 377 anonymous, it's actually 283 words, and I'm sorry, this is I had to deal with a lot of rage on Facebook tonight, and obviously because of my status and who I am, there was a lot of rage. I almost said shit. Well, I did say shit. Sorry. Directed at me personally. And I've lost quite a few friends tonight. Or people I thought were friends. They're out of my life. So this was, I think, probably the clearest response I had to all that rage. And that's what I'm going to submit to this week as far as Weekly Challenge 377. So here we go. Anonymous. I understand the shock of the George Zimmerman verdict, despite the facts that clearly screamed innocence. I have been a criminal defense attorney in the state of Florida for over 16 years. I'm quite used to the distortion of the actual facts created by our media. Outside the courtroom, the media, or better yet, whoever owns the media, controls
the message. I'm not saying we are lied to. I'm saying when we watch the news, it is a production, one where choices are made behind the scenes about what is stated and who exactly gets to make those statements. When a producer permits a person on air to state an opinion contrary to the story the network owner wants broadcast, that producer is promptly fired, and the person making the statement no longer appears on Face the Nation or any other network. We, the people, simply are not privy to the controlling decisions made behind the camera of the news we trust to deliver actual facts. What goes on in front of the camera is what I call the noise. The evidence presented and cross-examined in a trial, such as in the Zimmerman trial, I call the signal. The signal in the Zimmerman case screamed not guilty despite the noise created by our media screaming racism. YouTube and other online technologies have become an equalizing force against Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, but only if you can hear the signal through the noise. Of course, this message probably angers you, and your first instinct is to take your rage out on the attorney who took the time to try to explain something to you. So let me leave by signing my name. Yours truly, Anonymous.
Thank you, Danny, for saying that. My God, somebody with experience and expertise. No. Let's get Al Sharpton and Nancy Grace in here. Thank you, Danny. And the folks that have disconnected or whatever. I know it's a mommy kind of thing to say, but they weren't really your friends. But look, look at the freaking point click. Oh, okay, this I agree with. I do not agree with this. You must be destroyed. You know? It's called detente. It's the connection between folks with differing agreements, even though some of them have nuclear weapons and such. But the ability to talk across the aisle in life, that's what matters. But when, of course, people cross lines, the draw line said, okay, I'll never talk to you again. You know, you focus on what you focus on. But, you know, at least everyone can agree that it's all fucked up. Isn't that great? You have no central nervous system. Isn't that great? Yeah. You pull a Sadie Dumpington. I don't know what the hell the deal is. I'm not going to solve it. In fact, I think I'm going to make it worse. All right, how can I add to global warming? Global warming will solve all of this, you know. Yes. So, let's go out for a drive. Next up, let's see, it's Red. Red Goddess, more from Lola. Remember, I can't quite get the voice right, so we're handing it to a robot. At least the robot is cute and possibly a little sexy. If that's your thing, I'll send you the link to the app. Here's Lola from Red Goddess.
At midnight on Friday, Lola received an anonymous call with an urgent message on her cell phone. The voice on the machine was overly excited for a stranger. He states, "I'm happy to tell you that your boyfriend made it." Lola was now worried. Was he in an accident? Did he travel somewhere and made his destination? What the hell does "he made it" means in the wee hour of the morning? She couldn't go back to sleep. She called his cell but went straight to voicemail. She checked her emails and text messages. Nothing. There are the side effects of being a caring relationship, she thought to herself. Worries and sleepless days will consume her until she sees him.
Thank you, Lola and Red Goddess and everyone that's up there in your head. Yearning to get out! You just watching the replay of the game. Is that where the pit? No, that's Castro, the catcher, who's the supposed pity pick all-star, who, wow, just sad. Oh, this is where there were, like, no runs for each. Dallas Cochill four innings. No. Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. I love watching the replays after I know, because it's like, seriously? Really? Not happening. Okay. By the way, we need to get the topic out. Next week is something special. All right, you ready for it? Well, I hope you're not too ready for it, because there's one more story to go. Did Sing ever send a story in? Hold on, let me check. And none from Sing. Checking the spam filter. Oh, his stuff's not spam. Nope. If he does send one in, I will post it up on its own so that you can enjoy the epic. I wonder if he won the competition last week. He didn't say. Oh, well. Here's one more, Planet Z. I hope you're ready for it. If you're not, well, you're just like everybody else. Here we go. Planet Z.
Ted worked on the global organ donor tracking research for months, and then he analyzed the data to find patterns with race, religion, and other factors. After checking the European figures, he found a strange anomaly in the data. Wait times for livers were minimal in Greece, and all the procedures were performed by a clinic called the Prometheus Institute. Ted looked up the name and read the legend. Vultures? Titans? Regenerating a liver? Ted passed word to his supervisor and heard nothing else about it. Then his funding was cut off, and the lab caught fire. Fire from Olympus.
And there you have it. The weekly challenge, number 377? I'm never sure what it is. 377 of these. Anonymous was the topic. And you all rose to the occasion, and stories and recordings and a rant or two. See, we all can get along. We all can create. We all can express ourselves. We can all... What am I kidding? So that's it for this week. You can check out everybody's links and sites over at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. That's where I post the show notes. You can share this with your friends or your enemies or random people on the street that you encounter. Please do not bash their heads against the concrete or shoot them. And, not sure what else. Oh, next week, we're doing a thing with the Single Frame Stories people at singleframestories.wordpress.com. That's Botgirl and Whiskey over there, who post up a challenge. This time it's on the word original. So the next topic is original, and what you're going to do is try to come up with something visual in a single frame that expresses original, and then you can put a 100-word story with it, or if you don't feel like doing the 100-word story, you know, keep just a short little thing, one line, either way, and, you know, go over there and get a feel for it, and how people express themselves there and here, and maybe we all can be friends, but I doubt it. So thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.